I'm sure there are other things because it's always kind of embarrassing to share things publicly, but pray for me and my wife. We're taking a little camping trip. We have a little pop-up trailer, and we're just going to go camping this week. We'll be back by Saturday, so you can't call me because I'll be way out of cell range. Yay! Unplugged! So call Dory instead. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of praying for your people. It is a privilege to bring the requests forward to your throne. Little do we know, little do we understand the power in it. We could even try to bring these needs to a government, to some rich guy or gal. But ultimately, we know, in our heart of hearts, we know that there's only one being that can really do something about what's going on in our lives. So I guess my prayer is not only that you would just heal people and make them wealthy and happy and all of that. I guess more than it, that we would learn what it is that you have set upon us, what you have put on our plate, that we would learn how to glorify you through it, in it, and ultimately overcome it through you only. For Margaret with MS, who represents thousands, millions of people afflicted, we pray for her and for us to always be cognizant of people that are not fully physically capable, but yet in their spirits are just as saved as any of us. And we need to love them and pray for them and lift them up and befriend them and spend time with them. And for those who are ailed with cancer, like Mr. Cisneros and so many others. Cancer, Lord, it's all over the place. And that's a scary word. But there's a cancer of the spirit. There's a cancer of the soul that is infecting so many people. And they are as healthy as all get out, but inside they are cancerous. They don't know that their spirits are fading away. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to find the grace of God in the midst of the physical things, but also that we would be delivered from the spiritual cancer that's all around us. And sometimes it's inside of us. That's the thing about cancer, is it's inside of us. It's our own body cells going crazy. Help us, Lord. We need your help. We pray for Xavier, Lord, for his eye. We pray that you would touch him. He's just a small boy. We just lift him up to you. Pray for Casey as she looks for a church in the Denver area. Help her to find a place where she can minister and where she can serve with full agreement. Lead her to a group of Christians that are really effective for you. It doesn't matter about size, does it, Lord? Size, what does it matter? You do great things through small people. You slew a giant through a small boy. You took Israel and made them stand up against empires. So help us, Lord, to understand that we are not to trust in horses or in military might. We are to trust in God, in your power. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you in the midst of all things. For all of the unspoken requests in the hearts of men and women here, young and old, my prayer for them is simple, Lord, that they would know you, that they would experience you, that they would be deep in your word, that they would be confirmed in their spirits with you, that their relationship with you would be so tight that like David, they can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. That no matter what's going on, we would trust you. We would trust you and not man, not even ourselves. We pray for our leadership, Lord, from our local leadership all the way to state and federal places. What do we pray? Some people would pray that they be punished, but the Bible tells us to pray for all of those who are in authority. We lift up our hands and we pray, Lord, speak to them, send them a dream, a vision, something to wake them up to the realities of what's going on. Many of them don't even know you, Lord. Their souls are in peril. If they die without Jesus, they're lost, even though they may have a high, cushy job. We ask that you would move in the lives of men and women all across the land. We pray for the campaign and the presidential campaign that is happening in our country. We pray for England. We pray for Europe. We pray for Africa, for India. We pray for China. We pray for the world. It sounds like some pat answer, but we pray, Lord, because man has one idea about what solution is, but your solution is completely different than man's. So make men and women all around this world of yours, make them to trust in you, the Almighty God, and not in money and not in governments and not in military forces and not in political leaders, but to trust in you, the only one that is trustworthy anyway. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Never know where I'm going to go in my prayer. All right. Okay. I'm still preaching on the priesthood of all of the believers. Take your sermon notes and follow along. You know, I don't just preach these sermons to deliver the message and get it out and it's done with. I'm actually hoping that for you it makes some kind of a difference, because once you understand the truth of the Bible, you understand then how it is to transform you in your personal life, in your family, in your marriage, or if you're single, in your schooling, in your career, in your attitudes, in your opinions, in your thoughts about things, in your actions and reactions to what's happening in the world. The Word of God is meant to be transformative. It is not meant to simply be academic, that let's study the Bible and now go home and live like whatever. That's a sickness that is happening in Western culture that needs to stop. Because James said, do not simply be hearers of the Word, but do what it says. Do what it says. So sometimes you might hear me preaching and wonder, what's he talking about? Don't worry, and as time goes on and as you expose yourself to the Bible more and more, you will see that the Bible answers itself, okay? And you will find the answers for it. When my father started to read the Bible for, you know, he always read it, but he read it to stay away from alcohol. Then he began to read it and read it and read it, and he would send me letters asking me questions. What does this mean? What does that mean? Eventually, the letters stopped because he began to read the Bible. And he began to see the answers that were in the Bible for that question over here. What about this guy says this here, but over here it says this. Eventually the Bible will answer itself because God is faithful to his word. Now, the priesthood of all believers is essential to American freedom. Not just American freedom, but freedom in general. Because freedom is not just an American thing. God never intended us to simply be dependent on some kind of a political entity for our rights. That's why the Founding Fathers, I'm already kind of priming the pump for the Christian Heritage series. The Founding Fathers says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that who gave us our rights? God gave us our rights. The government doesn't give them to you. As a matter of fact, governments always try to remove rights. Isn't that strange? Governments always try to take away privileges, take away what you believe, take away your money, take away your property, take away, in the Brexit vote that just happened, where Britain exited the European Union, I was listening to a commentator, and they were saying something that really surprised me. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. I did not know this, that in Britain, 50% of the laws were being enacted and enforced from Brussels by nobody that was English. And that there was this one fisherman they were interviewing this one. He goes, well, what do you think? He goes, well, I just know this. I live on the coast of England, and I wanted to go fishing. And they made me go to Brussels to get a fishing permit off of the coast of my own country. It's like, whoa. Globalization is not always the best thing, by the way. People always say, globalization, globalization. Let's get rid of all of the borders. Sounds really nice, right? Until you start getting shot to death by people that don't like the way you live. Until you start getting attacked in your own country. It's a strange thing, the things that are going on right now. It's prophetic. Jesus prophesied it. And the Bible prophesies that there will be a coming one world government, one world order. We're very, very, very close to it. And it's not going to go away. Matter of fact, I'm surprised how many of our top leadership echelons way up in the high places of leadership are selling us out. Matter of fact, I actually think they don't even care about America anymore at all. I actually think that. I think that if we could actually see the treason that's happening, it would make Benedict Arnold look like our friend. They sang a new song. Let's sing it together. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe, language, and people, and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. That statement, you are a kingdom of priests, is for all of the believers of Christ. It is not an echelon of a special cadre of people who dress differently than everybody else. It is for all. I am no more a Christian than you are. I am no more spiritual than you are. That is to say that God looks at all believers equally. At the foot of the cross, we are all redeemed the same way by the blood of Christ. That doesn't mean that we're all carbon copies of one another. Indeed, there's great variety within the body of Christ and even great opinion and difference of opinion. But we're all redeemed with the same blood of Christ. And it's an amazing thing when Christians begin to live in what God has given them and to not just be told about it, but to live it out and not just relegate this spiritual stuff to, oh, well, let the church do it, let the priest do it, let the pastor do it. But start realizing, I, as a born-again believer, I am a priest. And everything I do, from changing the diaper on my grandbaby, to playing baseball with my nephew, to going to school, to my marriage, to my work, to driving down the street, it's all in service to God. If we would understand that our whole life is meant to be included in the faith, that there is no separation of the secular and the spiritual, that all of it is meant to intersect. God wants us to live our lives out in such a way that our lives reflect a service to Him in all that we do, okay? So it's not just, oh, you know, that preacher or that evangelist, they're really great. Well, what about that wife or that student or that employee or employer? What about that? Those things, I think, are where Christianity really works. Now, the priesthood is actually political. I have made this point time and again because I'm going to hammer and hammer and hammer this. God has always intended that the message of the gospel transform not just spiritual thinking, not just churches and temples and religion. He meant the gospel to transform the very fabric of everything. You say, how do you know that? I read history very well. When Christianity came into the world, it began the process of transforming not just the Jewish people, but the Roman Empire itself eventually, within 1,000 years or less actually, all of it was Christianized. By 600 AD, the whole Roman Empire had adopted Christianity as the official religion. It was an amazing thing, and it happened through the sacrifice and the preaching and the sharing and the teaching of thousands and thousands of Christians who lived within the culture, who began to say, no, that's not right, this is right. This is what God is doing. And before you know it, even the king himself had to bow the knee to Christ. But now we live in a time where the leadership thinks they don't need God at all. They don't need Jesus at all. Indeed, they want God and Jesus to just kind of go away. Would you guys please go away? We're doing our own thing. We don't need you anymore. We've evolved enough. We've grown. We're way beyond you now, say the leadership of our world. We don't need the God stuff. That stuff is all old hat. We don't need it anymore. The problem with that is you start shooting holes in the boat, and guess what? You're in the boat. The whole thing is going to sink. I'm going to read you something. Why do the nations conspire together and the peoples of the earth plot in vain? The leadership of the earth take their stand against, and the rulers gather together against the Lord. And they stand against His anointed one. The word anointed one is the Hebrew word Messiah, which is Christ. Christos. He has been anointed by who? Who anointed Christ? God did, okay? So who are they? Look what they say. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. So what is going on globally? People and governments and people with influence and money and power are saying, we don't want the God stuff. We want that out. We want to just have our own life without that. That's what they're saying. The one enthroned in heaven, oh no, they're voting me out. What am I going to do? I'm going to be out of a job. Guess I'll go find another planet. No. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them, and He rebukes them in His anger and terrifies them in His wrath, saying, I have installed my king. Did you know that the term king is political? What's a king? A king is a dictator. So we don't want dictatorship. That's really the whole issue, is it not? We don't want him, God, telling us what to do, so let's get rid of God and do our own thing. That's called the sin nature. We're all born with it. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. What's a decree? A decree is something when a king made a law, he decrees it from the throne, it becomes law. This happened with Daniel in the lion's den, remember? He made a decree. And because of that decree, even he couldn't undo it. So they had to put Daniel in the lion's den. And the next morning, the king, because he loved Daniel, he went to go see, and Daniel was still alive because the angels had kept the lions from eating him. So they took Daniel out, and then the king said, who are those guys that made me do this? Throw them in there. And before they hit the ground, read Daniel, it says, before they hit the ground in the lion's den, they got eaten. That's pretty cool. That's what God's going to do. Oh yeah, he's going to do that with all of these people that are trying to get us away from God. They're not going to last. They're just not going to last. They cannot, because they're going off against a power that is way greater than they even know. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I will make the whole nations of the world your inheritance. The ends of the earth you will possess. We're at the ends of the earth from where this was proclaimed in Jerusalem. Take the globe, Santa Fe, New Mexico, go all the way around Jerusalem. You will hold them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery, means the kingdoms of the earth. Read the great prophecies of Daniel where the image of the world's kingdoms was this big, huge idol. And then it says, and a mountain cut without hands smashed the idol on the feet, and it blew into the wind like chaff. And the mountain of the Lord grew and filled everything. That's coming. Therefore, you kings, you politicians, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, etc., etc. Be warned. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, that is, do obeisance to Jesus Christ. Keep Christ in the middle of it, lest he be angry and you are destroyed in the way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. But blessed are those who take refuge in him. The gospel is meant to be political. And for those of us, for those who try to shut down the church by saying, oh no, that Christian message stuff, keep it within your four walls, don't. And even then, they're now trying to tell us that you have to let everything that we say is right inside of your four walls. So how did that work for the church? It doesn't work at all. We have to actually be bold. We have to go out there. We have to tell people, no, God is the way. There is sin. There is right. There is wrong. Oh no, but that's old. Oh no, it's not old. There's nothing new under the sun, just more technical ways of sin, that's all. Melchizedek was king of Jerusalem. Melchizedek was king of, a king is a dictator. A king is a guy who sits on a throne and he rules. What did he rule? Salem. Jerusalem is now in front of it because King David conquered it. It became the capital city of his kingdom. The city of peace is what it literally means. And the priest of God Most High, he, Melchizedek, met Abraham. This is way back to Genesis, beginning of the Bible. Abraham had a battle with some other kings that kidnapped his nephew. He was always getting in trouble. And he had to go get him, and he got him out, and he took all of this spoil. And he returned from the defeat of the other kings, and he was blessed by Melchizedek. And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness, then also king of Salem. It means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, the Son of God, he remains a priest forever like the Son of God. Okay, this Melchizedek is a king. It is political. The so-called separation of church and state, that did not come from the Bible. That does not come even from the founding fathers. It was a secondary note in a letter written by Thomas Jefferson to a group of Baptists. And then for some reason and somehow it became front and center in American politics. Oh, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. And because of that, the state thinks that it can do anything it wants to do. It can pass any legislation it wants to pass without regard to morals, without regard to the Bible, without regard to cultural mores and foundations. And they do this constantly, daily, all the time, all the way up to our Supreme Court. And nobody challenges them, but I do. I challenge them, and I pray that God would do something to stop it. I pray that God would intervene. I pray that God would reveal it so that the people of America could see what's happening. You would be surprised in history. I'm a student of history. I love history. There was this one king of England. His name was Charles, and there was a conflict going on within the kingdom of England, and he decided to hire soldiers to fight in this kind of civil war they were having. But guess where he got the soldiers from? He got them from Europe. He used the tax money that the kings of England had gathered to hire soldiers from Europe to come in and be mercenaries to fight against his own people. And so when the leader of that group said, "Hey, let me show you what the king has done," they got him beheaded. You see, when did that happen? Oliver Cromwell beheaded King of England because he was hiring foreign powers to fight against his own people. That's happening now. I don't know if you guys realize that in America, it is happening. We are being sold big time, sold. And we've got to pray that God would open the book and show it to everybody so they could see what's happening. Why is it that these foreign entities and outside powers outside of our own country are influencing our elections? How are they doing that? Money. They're buying people. That's how. And it needs to be shown. And will it be shown? I don't know. Eventually, if this stuff of mine ever goes viral, if it ever gets viral, they'll shut me up. Don't worry. Okay, look what it says here. Oh, they will. There's a way to get rid of dissent. The way tyrannies always get rid of dissent is they lock it up and they throw away the key. It's happened in history throughout time. That's what they did with Daniel. They didn't like what he was saying, so they threw him in the dungeon. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And what does it say? The government, the church, the spiritual stuff, the religion, shall be on his shoulder? No. The government shall be on his shoulder. Why the government? Because the government is what makes the policies socially and otherwise that influence the people. That's why. The government will be on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. Now, you read that and you say, it sounds really cool, doesn't it? But it ain't happening. We say, where is it? We think this, but you're wrong. It actually is and has been happening. All you have to do is read some history books. God and the message of Christ came into the world and it began the process of transforming Europe, eventually birthed America. All of this hemisphere was influenced by Christendom. All of the modern conflicts that have happened in the world were because of this new and transformative message from God about, I have sent my son, he has died for you. Everything that you have done against me, I will forgive it. Just bow your knee to him and then you're in my camp. And now we're in a battle together, a spiritual battle for the minds and the hearts of men and women and generations that are yet to be born. I'll share that with you more on the Christian heritage. Now, the Levite priesthood, it actually was a foreshadowing of the priesthood of Christ. What's a shadow? Do this with your hand and cast a shadow. Look at the shadow. What's casting the shadow? Your hand, right? I'm asking you to cast a shadow with your hand. Why look at the shadow all the time? Look at the reality. The hand is the reality. The shadow was the Levitical man-made priesthood, or should I say, based in man priesthood. The real priesthood was Jesus Christ. Watch, I'll show you. Think how great he, Melchizedek, was. Even the patriarch. Patriarch means the great papa, the great granddaddy of all the Jewish people. The first Jew, he gave Melchizedek a tenth of the plunder. Why did Abraham do that? Why did Abraham give to some guy the tenth of the plunder? Because of who he was. The law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect the tenth from the people. Okay? In the Old Testament law, God set up a system with Israel. And guess what? 10% took care of not just the religious leadership, it took care of all of the political leadership too. And when they decided that they didn't want that only, they said to Samuel, "Hey, we want a king like all of the nations around us." And Samuel, it says, he wept before the Lord all night long in prayer. And then God says, get up. They're not rejecting you. You're just a prophet. They're rejecting me. I'm the king. So go and tell them this. I'll give them a king. But that king is going to tax them. He's going to take their horses. He's going to get their sheep, their cattle. He's going to take their kids, their women, their men. He's going to make soldiers out of them. And now they're going to have the added burden of supporting a secular government on top of the spiritual leadership that they had in me. And when Samuel Adams and the founding fathers of the United States signed the Declaration of Independence, do you know what Samuel Adams said? He said, "We have now restored the sovereign of the universe to his rightful place." What did that mean? That meant this. We are now getting rid of a king, and we're asking God to lead us. Us in prayer together as fellow Americans in prayer to God. We're trusting in him and his leadership, and he is our leader now, and us voting together. Isn't that an amazing, phenomenal thing when Christianity is allowed to work? But the devil doesn't like it. He'll do everything he can to undo it. And he's insidious about it. He never stops. But God is greater than him. Okay, so even though the brothers are descended from Abraham, this man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, Melchizedek. Yet he, Melchizedek, collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. So the priesthood that was eternal is way more important than the shadow. The shadow was the Levite priesthood. The real priesthood is the priesthood of Christ. Watch. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, Jesus. Okay? If Jesus was on earth, he wouldn't be a priest. He actually said this to the disciples before he left. I must go. I must go. It is expedient that I go so that I can send to you the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, until Jesus showed up in heaven and presented himself before God the Father. The Holy Spirit could not be released to live inside of the hearts of his people. Now that has happened. And it doesn't have to happen time and time again. Everybody wants to relive the book of Acts, chapter 2. Oh, it's got to happen just like that. It never will. It happened once. The Holy Spirit is given to anyone who believes. Anyone who believes. No matter who you are, man or woman, child or young adult or old adult, the Holy Spirit comes to you. And you can hear the word of God. And because the Spirit of God is in you, you say, amen, amen. That's true, that's true. Why? Because the Spirit of God's in you. If you were on earth, you wouldn't be a priest, for there are already men, Levites, who offer gifts prescribed by the law. That's why we know that Hebrews was written at the time of contemporary Jewish temple. 70 AD, it was destroyed by the Romans. So we know that the writer of Hebrews wrote that letter right before that. Okay? Some people who try to criticize the Bible say, oh, it was written a long time after the events. How can you trust it? Not true. Of all of the books, Julius Caesar wrote about what he did. He wrote it like 50 years after he did it, not with Jesus. It was written on the spot. You can trust the Bible. You can trust it because God made sure that it was trustworthy. It says this, they, the Levites, they serve at a sanctuary that's just a copy. It's just a shadow of the things that are in heaven. What's in heaven? The real temple, the real tabernacle. This is why Moses was warned at the burning bush on Mount Sinai. When you build a tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. Why? Because God wanted them to respect the fact that there's a real eternal one. It's an eternal. It was so strict, as a matter of fact, that one time they made a mistake. These two priests, who happened to be the two sons of Aaron, the high priest, they got drunk. They were celebrating this new covenant, this covenant of the law, and they got drunk, and they went into the sanctuary area of the tabernacle, and they tried to offer a sacrifice, but because they were drunk, they did it wrong. And guess what it says in the Levitical law? It says, fire came out from the ark, and it consumed them. It killed them. And guess what God told Moses to tell his brother Aaron? He said, Moses, tell Aaron, you can't cry. Because if you cry, you're going to die too. Because he has the holy anointing oil on him. Isn't that amazing? It's a cool story. You got to read it. I mean, God's done that a number of times. He killed another high priest's two sons because they were wicked. He killed them. It says so in the scriptures. Okay, now, priesthood based on man is temporal. That's the Levitical priesthood. It's temporal. Temporal means it's only going to last a while. But Jesus' priesthood is eternal. That's the point being made here. Now, those who say we don't need Christianity anymore, they are in error. They're in huge error because what they try to replace it with, okay, what do you want to give me then? Since you don't want me to have Jesus and Christianity and God and the Bible, then what do I get in exchange? What I get in exchange is let the boys go into the girls' bathroom. That happened in Albuquerque just this week. The superintendent did without any feedback from any of the parents, let the boys go into the girls' bathrooms. I mean, before I was saved, I was like, all right, that's what I would have that's what I would have thought when I was a kid. I mean, come on. They don't know the sin nature. You realize the problems that's going to cause? If you are a parent, you better start watching out for your kids in huge ways. You better pay attention to details about what's happening with your kids. You better go into the restroom with them. Did you know that? Do you trust the government to protect your kid in the restroom? Without a doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, the shadow priesthood, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth to Melchizedek through Abraham, because he was still in Abraham when this happened. So the priesthood of Jesus is eternal. And even the Levitical priesthood, which a lot of people try to copy, including the Roman Catholic Church where I came from, they still try to dress like it. They still try to act like it, like if they're special and different than everyone else. But the Jewish high priesthood was very different than the Roman Catholic one, by the way. And many denominations and many groups of Christendom try to marry the law and the covenant of the law with the covenant of grace. It's a huge mistake. I'll show you. Okay? Authority actually proceeds from position. When Jesus Christ was going to ascend into heaven, the very last time he spoke on earth physically to the disciples, do you know what he told them? Right when he was going to ascend, he told them this: all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Remember, Lucifer tempted him in the great temptation out in the desert. I'll give you all of the glories of the kingdoms of the earth. They are mine. I'll give them to you. You don't have to have a cross, and you don't need a crown of thorns. I'll give you a crown of gold. I'll give you a throne. All you have to do in my world is worship me. That's what Satan wanted, and that's what Satan is like. But Jesus knew that in order to do the will of God, it was through the cross. It was through the suffering of the cross. It was through the suffering and the agony and the death of the cross. We need to trust God all the way to it, by the way, all the way to death. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given, why was there need for another priest, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the priesthood, there's a change of law. Did you know that in the Brexit vote that just happened, England now gets to have something back that they didn't have anymore? Do you know what it is? It is the ability for they themselves to pass their own laws. We need to actually demand this of our leadership. We need to take back we the people from the people who think they know better than us. They actually think they know better than us how to live. They think they know better than us how we should educate our children, how we should tell them about what's right and what's wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong. And you and I need to stand up to it. And that's always been the battle, and it'll always continue to be the battle. And in order to change something, the law has to change. So now they're going from the old EU law back to the British law. It'll be different. People are trying to prognosticate, oh, it's going to be weak, it's going to be awful, they're just going to fall apart. Maybe. It all depends on their backbone, if they've got any or not. We'll see. Eternal power wields an eternal priesthood. Because Jesus has an eternal power, I am the Alpha, the Omega. Behold, I was the one who was dead, and I am living forevermore. I hold the keys of death and Hades, said Jesus Christ from the other side of the grave, Revelation chapter 1. He has eternal power, and because he has eternal power, he wields an eternal priesthood. It'll never be replaced. It'll never grow old. It'll never become obsolete. And when we have said, what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of regulation to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you, Jesus, are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. This is done by God, not man. God did this, okay? I'll show you. To trust in something that is obsolete is nothing but being obstinate. I can hardly say obstinacy. Obstinacy. Are you going to be obstinate? How many of you are stubborn? I'm stubborn. Stubborn. I'm not stubborn. The former regulation is set aside. Who set it aside? God did. Because it, the Levitical priesthood, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing or no one perfect. If you try to, I'm going to follow the Ten Commandments now. You're wrong. You're not going to do it because the Bible says you can't. I'll show you. A better hope is now introduced by this new hope, Jesus Christ on the cross, forgiving your sin. When you go through that, you're free. You're completely free. You're free from everything, from sin, from Satan. You're free from tyrannical governments. You're a free person. Forever you're free. It can never be removed from you, never taken from you. No one can take it from you. Romans says, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor demon, nor height, nor power, nor anything, nor sword, nor famine, nor anything can take us away from what has been given. They have been informed that you teach the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. This is a little snippet out of the book of Acts. Paul the apostle, who was specially chosen by Jesus Christ to be an apostle to the non-Jewish people. He says, I want you to go and preach this new message to them. And he began to preach it. And he began to tell people, hey, you don't need any of that stuff anymore. God has brought something completely new. And it is so new and freeing. You don't have to say, Hail Caesar anymore. You don't have to bow the knee to some statue idol. Now you are free. In Christ, you are free. And because of that, it got back to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, when he came back to visit his people, the leadership in the church and the leadership of the politics and the spiritual politics in Jerusalem, they were angry at him. And they arrested him, and they put him in chains, and they sent him to Rome, and they eventually cut off his head because they didn't like that he was telling them that there's a change. People don't like change. People want to hold on to the old. How many of you still have a cassette tape? How many of you still have an 8-track? How many of you still have a phonograph? How many of you still have an old dial phone? Look what it says here about the old covenant. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because righteousness, the righteous will live by what? Faith. Faith. What's faith? When people say, I have faith, they never say, in what? Faith in what? I have faith, but my faith is in a person, and my faith is in a person named Jesus Christ, whom God made the eternal priest, the high priest of the new covenant. I put faith in him and only him. I don't even put faith in me. I don't put faith in a government or a political leader or a church or an evangelist or a preacher. I put faith in him. What is your faith in? Faith in faith alone? What use is faith if it is not placed in the right place? They say that you, Paul, teach all the Jews everywhere to turn away from Moses. Yes, that's what's being taught. We are not in the old covenant anymore. We're in the new. I meet Christians who tell me all the time, oh, I'm only practicing the Jewish feasts. I'm a redeemed Jew from northern New Mexico, and I'm only practicing this part of the law. You can't do it, because the Bible actually says right there, cursed is anyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law. So if you're going to trust in the old, be obstinate and trust in the old. Let's look at some of them. Remember that one? Cassette tape. Still got a bunch of those. I tried to get rid of two buckets full of cassette tapes of sermons by a great preacher. Nobody took them. So you know where they're at? The round file. Actually, the big square file out back. The dumpster. I just threw them all away because nobody wanted them. Look at that typewriter. Remember those? Oh, no, the tape messed up. Remember that? What was it even called tape? What was it called? The ribbon. The ribbon. Yeah, some of you remember. The kids are looking at us like, what are you guys talking about? I saw that in a museum once. How about the Rolodex? Still got one of those? How many of you got a smartphone? Pull it out. There's Rolodex inside of there. Way better than anything you've ever had. Blockbuster, gone. Now it's Redbox, right? Look at the old projector thing, the slide. It wasn't even a slide. It was a carousel projector. I used to have to put all of my praise songs and little picture negatives on. And they always would get messed up. Almost as bad as the mess up I made when I was doing the praise this morning. I put page one in front of page two. How about the 8-track? Those were cool. You have to have a whole truck in the back to put your 8-tracks in there. And then dig through them to find your favorite one. Film is gone. It's all digital now. Look at the phone. Look at the cell phone when it first came out, guys. It was like a brick. When God guarantees something new, it's certain. It is not without an oath. What's an oath? This oath, this new priesthood is God's swearing. God is putting himself on the stand and swearing. And he's making a promise, an oath. And when you trust in God, and the Bible revealed last week when I was preaching to you about this, God cannot lie. You can trust in him because he doesn't lie. Politicians, they lie to you all day. Leaders, I mean, we humans, we can't even trust in ourselves. We have to trust in someone who cannot lie, and that's him. Others became priests without an oath. All you had to be was a Levite, and you were an automatic priest. You might have been the worst priest in the world, but just because you were a Levite, you were a priest. But this one is different. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You, Jesus, are a priest forever. It's an eternal priesthood. It'll never grow obsolete. It'll never grow old. It'll never be replaced. Because of this oath, what oath? The oath of God, the Father. Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. What's guarantee? I'll show you. Guarantee, it's surety. You ever heard of a bail's bondsman? You know what that is? I'm in jail. Yeah, I get these calls once in a while. Could you please get me out? And it's only $100 because the bond is $1,000 and they make you do 10% of it. So you call a bail's bondsman and you put up $100 and they let him out of jail. Well, Jesus is our bail. Watch this. It primarily signifies bail, guarantee. The bail who personally answers for anyone, whether it's your life or your property. It is used, the word guarantee, in Hebrews 7, what we just read, referring to the abiding, unchanging character of his, Jesus' Melchizedek priesthood, by reason of which he, his suretyship, is established by the oath of God. As surety, Jesus is the personal guarantee of the terms of the new and better covenant. So when you trust in Jesus, when you trust in what God has promised will save you, you're saved. When people say, how do you know you're saved? I say, I know I'm saved because I'm not trusting in me. I'm trusting in him. How many of you trust in a church, trust in a denomination, trust in some? You need to trust in God. He's the only unchangeable being that I know of. I don't trust in anyone else but him. I don't even trust me. I don't trust me because I think I would lose my salvation if it was given to me. I go, oh, lost it. It's secured on the ground of his perfect sacrifice. That's out of Vine's Expository Dictionary of the Bible Words. He is our bail bondsman. He gets you out of hell. Not just the trouble of sin and jail, but hell. He bails you out of that. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is the perfect priest. You have a perfect covenant now. You don't need anything else. Man always wants to add to it. Jesus told the leadership of the Jews when he came, you, by your traditions of men, have nullified the word of God, the simplicity of it. This has happened in America. The very basic doctrines of the founding documents of this country are only 3 pages. The Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, one more, the Constitution. 3 pages. But now we have books written about that word in the Constitution. Books. Why? Because man loves to pile on his tradition. So we need to tell the leadership, now get all this stuff out of here. Let's go back to the simplicity like they did in the 1500s. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's put it in the middle of the church. Let's have somebody preach it and teach it. Let's get rid of all of this other weird stuff. And let's just listen to what God is saying. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. You know, even in the Christian church, there's been great preachers. There's been great teachers, yes. But you know what? Manna is meant to be eaten hot. Bread, you've got, the showbread had to be replaced every day, morning and night. They had to replace it. Why? Because bread is no good once you ever try to eat a biscuit that's 10 days old or a piece of bread that's been out of its wrapper. It doesn't work. You need fresh manna. That's why God always brings up his word in fresh new ways. Jesus lives forever. He's the permanent priest. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Why are we doing a 10-year plan? I'm 56. I never thought I would get there. In 10 years, I'll be 66. And in 10 years after that, 76. There's no way I'll be able to get up here and yell this way anymore after a while. I'll just die. Boom. Get a coffin. Let's get a new pastor. Yay! Let's stand together. Let's stand together. How we thank you, Lord, for the perfect eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ that will never be obsolete. How we thank you that we can trust in a promise that is not from man but from God. How we thank you that the founding fathers of this country said that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that God granted us our rights, not man. We don't have to look to man for the securing of our rights. We look to you. You have given us promises. You have given us life. You have given us liberty. You have given us everything that we have. It doesn't come from man. It comes from you. But they're trying to take it from us, Lord. They're trying to put up obstacles and barriers and confusions of all kinds. Could you please protect us, Lord? We are your sheep. Rise up against them, Lord. You are the great Lion of Judah. Rise up against the so-called leadership of this world and roar once from your royal throne. Roar so that the nations can hear and so that they may cower backwards from you. We trust in you, oh great resurrected Son of God. We don't even trust in ourselves. We trust in you. And I pray that that faith would be placed firmly and fervently in the hearts of everyone in here. In Jesus' name, amen.